This is a Clearview podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of Carpe Manana, the show where we talk about how to capture tomorrow today. Thank you so much, those of you who are tuned in on the radio, those of you who are listening through iTunes or your favorite podcasting platform. Really appreciate you guys joining the conversation. And while you're there, make sure you leave us a rating and a review. It helps us to stay visible and helps you to stay connected with all of our future content. We want to start this episode off the same way we do every week by introducing ourselves. Maybe we have some first-time listeners joining us this week. We want you to get to know us and what we do here at Clearview. So to my right is...
Abaddon Shaw. I'm the lead pastor at Clearview Church. And to my right...
My name is Rebecca Shaw. I'm the Children's Ministry Coordinator and the Events Planner here at Clearview. And to my right...
John Galantis. I'm the pastor of Worship and Media here at Clearview Church. And to my right...
David Williamson. I'm the Media Specialist and Student Worship Leader here at Clearview. And to my right,
Ryan Hill, and I'm the pastor of Students and of Assimilation here at Clearview Church. And guys, we are excited to tell you that we are back in the building, worshiping inside of our sanctuary. It is so nice to be back indoors, back to business as usual.
Absolutely. I mean, it's exciting to see people again. Of course, we're taking the right precautions
Definitely.
And careful. And you know, really, people are wise and they're discerning. And so... It's been awesome to see the people again.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that I would miss it as much as I did, but when we got back and we were actually in the building with the people, I saw all these faces that I hadn't seen in forever, and I was like, wow, I really missed you guys.
It was really cool when we were setting up that week before the first one where I turned the sound system on, and I was like, all right, let's just kind of see where we left things. And David got on the drums, and just to hear sound coming through those speakers, just big and full, it was a great feeling. And the whole praise team here together, and just hear music coming through that building again, it was really awesome.
And Kelsey and I, we had Blaze for the first time. We had had Blaze before, but we didn't get to interact with the kids.
Right, you guys were doing the drive-in, right?
Yeah, we did the drive-in. We were up on the trailer, but all the kids had to stay in their cars. So this first Sunday back, we were able to have Blaze, and I told Kelsey, like, putting on that Blaze shirt was, like, it felt really good.
Yeah.
And
it was emotional for you as well, right?
It was very emotional. When we were singing songs, I could hear their little voices over the song, and they were just yelling the songs, and I was like, I just want to cry because I've missed their little voices and hearing them worship.
You two do a great job.
Absolutely. Really. I think the entire team has done a phenomenal job of getting everything together, because you know, we didn't know, is it going to be another month or whatever, and then we found out then phase two, now we can open, and so we opened up more services to make sure that you know there people can spread out better and all those kind of things. But our team did an amazing job, and our volunteers came and helped clean the church, and we'd already had professionals come and clean the carpets and things like that, but our volunteers came out in a record time. They had everything together, and we had, you know, pretty much stripped the board and taken it outside for our drive-in services,
right?
And then to bring it back in a matter of just a couple of days, to plug everything back in and to run it and to make sure the sound quality is good, the video quality is good, the live streaming, the Facebook Live, all this is running in sync, was a tough undertaking, but this team and the volunteers at Clearview just rose to the challenge, and I'm so proud to be part of this church.
It would not have happened without your leadership.
Yeah, it's because of you that we even have the drive and the want to work that hard.
That's true.
And it's because of your leadership through the shutdown that we were able to do things like the drive-in service, and we were able to do things like outreach into the community, which is actually what, you know, we want to spend some time talking about today.
Right.
Throughout the time where we weren't able to meet indoors, we were having drive-in services, and there were lots of ministries that weren't able to, you know, do what they normally do. The Kindle ministry, our outreach ministry here at Clearview, rose to the challenge and went above and beyond to meet needs in the community. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Dr.
Oh, Shaw? Yeah, absolutely. Our Kindle community outreach, many people in our community know about it. In fact, the word goes beyond just our community. The people know that Clearview Church in Henderson has something called Kindle that helps people, that shares the gospel, that meets the needs that people have. Through this crisis that we went through, this COVID-19 pandemic, the shutdowns, no other ministry could operate.
Right.
Right. But Kindle was one that we felt was essential because our people began to give and we began to go out into the community carefully, safely, following the guidelines and handing out boxes of food and boxes of household supplies. And we did the totals and the math, and it came to about 250 plus families that were helped.
That is insane.
I would say as close as 300. And then if you do the math, that in each home, maybe two people, maybe three, maybe 10, I think it was a whole lot more. But if you really do the math, you're talking about 3,000 some people.
Yeah, I mean, think about even the ones that came in when we did the drive-in giveaway. Remember when the school...
That's right. That was one of the first ones.
That was one of the first ones. And those were people that we barely, you know, even knew.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, we partnered with the public school system to give out school lunches for the spring break.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
And it was amazing because a lot of families came, but the way it was set up through the school system is that first come, first serve basis. And then whatever the families save, they say we have 10 kids. We have to give those 10... units of food that the schools have provided to those families. We cannot say, hey, wait a minute, show me those kids, or how do I know for sure you have those kids?
Right.
It was all on honor system. And then so the food ran out, but we had preemptively packed many more bags of food, and they were shelf stable. And so, you know, there's nothing to worry about, anything going bad, and we gave those away.
Right.
And the school superintendent was here. He was very grateful. You know, we got mentioned in the newspaper. And also, well, we didn't do it for those reasons, but people recognized the fact that this church went above and beyond.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things we did.
Right.
I've always been intrigued with the Kindle ministry because, especially in this time, we've done a lot through Kindle to help the community. But where did Kindle start? Like, how did that get its start?
Well, that's a great question because Kindle actually goes back beyond the name Kindle.
Hmm.
Okay. Nicole and I and our family have been at Clearview Church since 1998. People think we just got here, or the church just kind of, you know, just happened.
Yeah.
No, we were here in the late 90s.
Insane.
In Henderson. That's in Vance County.
Yeah, you know, I was born in 1998.
That's right. The year that you were born. We had just come to Henderson.
Wow.
And I had just come as a youth pastor to the church. And so, you know, we were in a rough neighborhood, and we realized that, you know, either we can just give up and run and find a nice little place somewhere else, or we can say, you know, God's here. God's called us here. And it's not just to minister to the people in the church, but he's called us to reach the community. And so we began that process. And in 1999, I came as the pastor of this church. And from there, we began to do things. We would, little things. We would do Bible schools and invite the community. We would help people in need. They would come by the church. And we did a lot of things.
Was it a good response at first?
Oh, yeah. The people were, our church people were very excited because this is of kind of the first time we did some things. But then also the neighborhood was very grateful because, you know, the church did do things in the past, but never consistently. And we began to help. We began to, you know, we adopted families. I remember going to this one family that was the husband or the father was working with the state. Or the city, I can't remember now, but he got sick. Something happened. He got hurt. He got sick. And he was supposed to get some, some help through the government or whatever.
Right.
And it never came. And it hadn't come for over 2 months. Wow. And so this family was struggling. No paycheck.
Right.
Okay. A little bit of money trickling in. Workman's comp, it's not coming in. Nothing is happening. So we adopted that family, and we took a lot of food and help and financial aid for that family. I remember doing that.
Wow.
And that goes back 20-some years ago. And so through the years, we've been doing ministries to help people. But that was in 2013, I believe, that we realized that we needed an organized movement to help people in our neighborhood and beyond.
Wow.
And it all happened when things were happening in our community. All of a sudden, it seemed like there were more shootings and rape and things like that, even though they were concentrated in a certain zone in the city. But right. still, the word was like, this is the worst place in the world.
I remember that.
And Facebook, people were like blasting. And not just people from outside, people from the inside were blasting our community and saying, this is the worst place in the world. And then they would post statistics and lists where worst cities in America to live in.
Mm-hmm. Like top 10 most dangerous cities.
Yeah.
You won't believe which one's number 9 and right. trying to say that this was one of those cities. I remember that.
And then in worst cities in North Carolina, they put Henderson on top.
Yeah. Mm. We would get a lot of comments. Like when I would tell people I was from Henderson, they make comments like, oh, I bet you're like
Is it
always
safe?
Scared
are
to
you,
walk
are you
down
right?
the street. And it's like, well, no. I mean.
Yeah, I remember one time.
It's also kind of rude.
Yeah, I remember one time we were at this restaurant in South Hill, I believe, or Southern Virginia, somewhere there. And this gentleman was with his family or whatever. And he was talking to people about, yeah, I got to go through, I'm headed to this and that place. I have to pass through Henderson. Oh, they said, oh, please do not stop there. Do not stop there. And I was sitting there listening, and I'm thinking, after we're done eating here, we're going to be stopping there because that's where our home is.
Yeah. We're going to be stopping there for a little while.
Yeah. I might sleep there. I don't know.
So I remember kind of talking to the man and saying, look, man, I know what that person said, but that doesn't represent Henderson. If yeah. you need to stop, just stop. Just know that don't go in bad places.
Mm-hmm.
But that's everywhere.
Yeah.
So because of all those situations that were happening, we felt like we needed to start Kindle. And so that's when 2013 spring, Kindle Community Outreach was born.
I feel like that was always inevitable because outreach is such a huge part of Clearview's core values. You know, outreach is one of the legs of the four stools that Clearview stands on, that we admire, that we value lost people, and we value being able to take the gospel to those people.
And we'll use every available Christ-honoring means to reach the lost.
How has that value almost evolved in this time of crisis?
I mean, this is something we've always been doing. So yeah. there was nothing new that happened except that we did it in record numbers.
Yeah.
yeah.
Because every year we do a big community luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in the downtown area. Then we do it in Flint Hill. At the park, Owen Davis Park, which is in Flint Hill, we have adopted that park, and we have put a playground system there, you know. So we've always done that.
Right.
And then over the fall, we buy, and this is all brand new, winter clothes,
mm-hmm.
Winter jackets, shoes for children. Of course, we do the back to school bags that we give away. And then for Christmas, we do the toy chest, which is where people come and at a very reduced cost, they buy gifts. And we don't even keep that money that they give. We use that for missions. So not only are we blessed as a church, they're blessed. So we've been doing these things for a long time. But when this COVID-19 happened, as you know, this was the only thing that we felt was it was really truly essential that yeah. we could get out there and help people.
When I remember distinctly when I first interviewed with you, Dr. Shaw, and you were telling me about Clearview and what was going on, one of the things that stood out to me the most was Kindle, was outreach into the community. And I went back home and I told my wife, I was like, man, this church is like all about being in the community. And I love how throughout the years, the Kindle ministry has been done various different things, but I love how practical it always is.
Yes.
Yes, we need to go out, and yes, we need to share the gospel with people, and that happens, but we're also going to make sure that people are fed, and we're also going to make sure that people have clothes, and we're also going to make sure that kids have school supplies. I mean, that's a very practical need that we can meet, and then that creates an inroad for the gospel.
Absolutely. And people want to see that you really care.
Right.
Because one of the things that we struggled with in the early years, even before Kindle as a ministry was born, we were already doing things. We had already adopted schools.
Right.
But people struggle with trusting us because, oh, yeah, you're talking the big game right now. You're going to take care of us and help us. And if you need anything, call us. Because a lot of churches, ministries start things, they just don't finish them. Yeah. And so we told ourselves that before God, as God helps us, we're not going to stop this no matter what. And we've had people who've come and really volunteered and helped out, and then they kind of lose the steam.
Right.
Which is fine. We understand because, you know, there are different phases in life. You feel more directed towards some of the ministry now than you were before. So that happens. But I told people that Clearview Kindle is led by me, which means this: as long as I'm here, as long as God has called me to serve, I will lead the ministry. Now, different volunteers can come and they can take a lead role, but Clearview Kindle is ultimately under Pastor Shaw, because then I want to make sure that that will never be shut down.
I love that, because right now, in the midst of this COVID crisis, that's the time where people would typically expect everybody to focus inward and to, you know, shut the doors and let's just see what. But this is when Kindle has really exploded. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to talk about the boxes, like all the boxes that went out and kind of the process of how that got started and how much it exploded over those weeks?
Absolutely. I think there's, you guys were part of this ministry, right? More because we had some volunteers, right, we had, right, some lead volunteers, but bottom line, the Clearview staff was the main volunteer base because other people couldn't get out.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys need to share more.
I think, honestly, Rebecca, you were the one that was kind of heading it up. We just kind of lifted boxes.
Well, the volunteers were very generous. Yes. They would come in early in the morning and just go ahead and start packing boxes, and then they would have to make Walmart runs, and they came back with truckloads. And van loads of food.
Yeah. She's not exaggerating. There were literal truckloads and van loads full of food.
5 or 6 vehicles every week.
Yeah, there would be like 2 trucks with the whole tailgate full of food, and we'd take it out and we'd bring it in, and then by the next week it'd be gone and we'd have to do another one.
Yeah, this is every week this happens.
Yeah, we would all have to take about an hour break and just go unload trucks and vans of food, come in, sort them out, and then pack the boxes so that they all have about the same thing. And well, we also took up food at the drive-in services, so the donations were very, very helpful. We had a huge box out by when they were driving out,
and it wasn't just food. It wasn't just food either. It was household items.
Yeah,
cleaning supplies. Cleaning supplies was a big one. And then driving out to go deliver these boxes was really, in my opinion, the best part, because I was able to see the families they were going to. I was able to see some of the kids that we were serving. And just see how we could serve these people. And we told them if they needed anything other than just food to let us know. Right. And, some of them have reached out to us,
mm-hmm,
and we've, you know, care for them the best that we can and just make sure they have everything they need.
Speaking of the people that we delivered to, if you don't mind me asking, why was the target demographic during this phase of Kindle seniors?
Because typically what we've noticed is the younger people, when I say young, I'm not talking about necessarily teenagers or 20, 30s. I'm talking about people who are able to get out.
Right.
People who are able to make a run to the grocery store. They can organize. They can call someone to give them a ride. They're the ones who are typically able to get food. But the senior citizens in our community, especially those who are low-income senior citizens, they were in bad shape. Now, some had family and some had friends who would help them, and so praise the Lord for that. But then there were some who were in a bad shape, and when we showed up with a box of food, by the way, we organized beforehand that we were going to go to those homes. It was not just randomly showing up.
We had names and addresses and nice table.
That's right. And when that happened, you could see in their faces the gratitude and just knowing that God answered their prayers, that peace, and just tears. We saw tears in many of their eyes because they didn't know what was going to happen a day from now or a week from now.
It was so awesome, like you said, to actually, when we delivered the boxes, to see that these people were genuinely thanking God that this stuff was delivered to them. Because had it not been for these boxes, they wouldn't have had a way to access food or household items. Things as small to us, like as toilet paper, they got that stuff that they needed that they wouldn't have gotten.
It was also difficult for them to get food because the younger ones that could get out, there quickly were taking everything.
Right.
They wouldn't leave anything for the older people to get a hold of. So they maybe they could get to the store, but then they were out of everything.
Right.
There was a lot of hoarding going on. And I that's, again, where a lot of our volunteers should be commended, because a lot of them brought in toilet paper and those things that you could not find.
They were able to secure that and not secure that for themselves and their families. Right. I hope they did, but they were securing that for the Kindle ministry. I had people would call and say, hey, listen, I've found some toilet paper or I've found some paper towels. How many do you need? And I could tell them, I will take however many you can bring. And they said, all right, I'm going to bring you these many cases. And they would bring.
Yeah.
And what we found was they were just enough to put in those boxes.
Mm-hmm. There was a point where, you know, we had asked for stuff for several weeks. And we were like, you know, maybe we need to give them a break. Maybe just like, maybe we won't do it this week. And something told us, you know, we just need to keep asking. And that exact week, before we even could even ask, someone was like, hey, we want to spend this amount. So tell us what you need and we're going to go spend this amount at the store and just bring it back. And we're like, yeah, we need to keep asking because these people, they actually want to give. It's not like they're just doing us a favor. They actually want to do it.
It was like once generosity gained traction in their lives, they wanted to give more and more. Like I gave a little bit, but now I want to give even more to the Kindle ministry. I want to volunteer my time and come and help pack boxes because the number of volunteers that were here helping increased.
Oh, yes.
Over the time we were doing the boxes, whereas, you know, at the beginning we had a handful. Then we had people begging us, please, can I come help? Please, I want to come.
We always kept it under a safe number.
Yeah.
Yes.
Always did that.
Absolutely.
It's funny you say that because if you go back and listen to our episode on the I Am the Neighbor Project, you, Dr. Shaw, predicted that that very thing was going to happen, that once the culture of generosity is built, there will be no stopping it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now we're sitting here the next year living in the fruition of that prediction. And I think it's really cool. Yeah.
One of my favorite things from being able to go out and deliver the boxes, like you were saying, Rebecca, is being able to see the families, know who the boxes were going to, being able to put a face with this idea of serving people. There was one household I remember that we got there, and there were a lot of people living in the household, or either maybe they were staying there at that time, I'm not sure. But you could see they knew that we were coming. So it wasn't a surprise. We just didn't show up at their doorstep. But they had no idea what was inside of the boxes, what was in store. And we brought them a food box that was literally overflowing. We couldn't close the box because there was so much food and good food. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, thrown together. This was nice, nice stuff.
Well, we were bringing them a box and they were like, okay, thank you. And we're like, we have another one.
Yeah, there's another one.
They were always so surprised because they were like, another box? And we were like, yeah, this is just food. We have household items.
Yeah.
I can't, like, how
every house got two boxes, one food, one household. And I remember vividly this one house seeing the realization dawn in their eyes. Like they were kind of puzzled at first and they were like trying to figure out what was going on, and they saw the boxes and you could see just, I mean, their faces were overwhelmed with gratitude and thankfulness, tears. They were like, you don't know what this means to us. You can't understand how much of a blessing this is in our lives, because we didn't know if we were going to be able to get these things. We had no idea, and we had no time frame.
We had people ask us if they had to pay.
Yeah.
Because it was so much stuff, and we were like, no, this is completely free.
Yeah, these are like big boxes. This isn't like little goodie bags. These are like big. Can we put pictures in the Instagram
of
the boxes?
The boxes was big enough that just me, I could only carry one. My arms were only big enough to carry one.
Yeah. And the food boxes were heavy enough that I typically only carried one.
If you click on the link in the description of this podcast, you can see our Instagram and you'll see like these are really, really nice boxes. Mm-hmm. And everybody got two.
I think one of my favorite parts about going out and actually delivering these boxes when I did was the part where we always prayed, you know, at the end, before we went to the next house, we would stand there and we would pray. And to hear some of these people, how genuine and how spirited they were in their prayers, even though we were the ones leading the prayer, they were just so authentic. It was really encouraging to know that there are believers out here that we're helping. We're not just helping random people. We're helping believers and unbelievers, because also in every box, we had a gospel tract.
Well, we feel strongly that along with physical sustenance, there should be spiritual food. For us to come with spiritual food, we better also meet their physical needs, because that's what Jesus said, right? He said, you know, you can tell someone, okay, go be warm and be full, but you don't feed that person? And then go feed them first. Yeah. And then you can say, be warm and take care of yourself. And kindle ministry through the gifts and through the help of people who go to Clearview and who don't. We have people who are not from Clearview Church who also came alongside and said, we want to support this thing. We're so grateful for what you're doing, you know. And they gave and they supported and we're so grateful. This is not just the staff putting this together. This is the people.
Well, actions speak louder than words. So if we're going to say something, we need to prove that we're actually going to do it.
Right.
And I like how you said that this is the people coming alongside, because a lot of times when you're the one serving, it's really easy to detach yourself from the people that you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of this, just the way that Clearview went about it, the way that you guys delivered those boxes, it showed me that these are people that we live alongside. You know, these are people where we don't know where they are spiritually, but we know where they are physically, and we can come alongside them and help them out.
Another reason I liked delivering the boxes was that I was delivering with people that had the same heart as I did for people in the community. Like, yes, it was about people in the community, but I almost feel like sometimes I learned more in that moment than they did. Like, I enjoy just being with the volunteers and hearing them talk about it. And it was good fellowship to be around people that were like-minded.
And it was not we come together for 40 minutes and pack the boxes and then takes about an hour to deliver. No, this was a whole day project.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every week it was close to at least 2 to 3 days. Mm-hmm. I would say 3 days.
Yeah.
They would pack for 2 or 3 and then we would deliver starting at 11 and maybe not even get back until like 6.
Yeah.
And so it was Tuesday was a whole packing day, and then Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Friday would become the delivery day. And by the way, we're still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know we're talking about this as if we used to.
Yeah.
This week, 15 more families will be getting boxes.
Very nice.
And so Kindle Community Outreach has been amazing, especially through this pandemic.
For those listening at home, how does this help us capture tomorrow? For those who might be listening, you know, what say you're at a church or you're at an organization and you have an outreach ministry, but you're struggling to get it off the ground. What would you say is the first step?
Truth and mercy. If you want God's favor on your life, on your church, truth and mercy. You have to believe the truth, which is the word of God.
Right.
And the truth is a person, who is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand firm on that truth, and then you have to show mercy. Many times, churches and ministries pick one or the other.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just once in a while helping people who really need help. No, you have to show mercy, because you may even be helping people that may take advantage of you, that may not appreciate it. That's okay. Be the hands and feet of Christ. So go out there, and as a church, as a Sunday school class maybe, or as a small group, or as a ministry, go out there and start showing mercy, especially at a time like this.
Yeah.
You know, we're facing another pandemic right now, kind of a cultural pandemic.
Right.
With the riots and the protests that are going on. This is not the time to run away.
Right.
This is the time to show love and compassion to our neighbors, to those in need. And you can still stand firm on the truth.
Right.
You don't have to compromise that. You don't have to lower your standards. You don't have to, you know, purposely have to speak a certain way to please the masses. No, you can still stand firm on your convictions about Christ and sin and evil, but you can also show mercy.
I love hearing about the Kindle ministry and the ways that we've been able to impact the community. Truly, you know, there's a reason our motto is making Christ visible, and that's what the Kindle ministry and all of us have been able to do throughout this pandemic. If you guys have any questions about anything we talked about in the episode today, if you want to know more about the Kindle Ministry and how you can get involved, send us an email to carpemignana@clearviewbc.org. We love hearing from you guys. Love knowing what you're taking away from the conversation. And make sure you tune in next week, same station, same time. And if you're not already, be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week on Carpe Mignana.